Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I've entitled Our Christmas Gifts to the Lord. And we were looking at the three gifts that are mentioned in Scripture that the wise men offered to the Christ child. And that consists of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We've looked at gold and frankincense, and if you perhaps missed the broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. But today we are continuing to look at the specific uses of myrrh referred to in Scripture. The first one that is referenced in Exodus 30:23, it was used as a very important ingredient in the anointing oil that the priests used. So basically, we were making a parallel that God, as it says in 2 Corinthians 1:21, He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. And that precious anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within our spirits, is the anointing which we have received of Him. It abides in us. It doesn't leave. That's 1 John 2:27. Not only that, it guides that anointing. The presence of the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Now, as we brought the broadcast to a close, we were looking at another use of myrrh, and that was used for, in ancient times, for ceremonial cleansing. We find in the second chapter of Esther, I'm going to read verse 12. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished. Let me pause. Basically, if you remember, Vashti had offended the king, and it was suggested to him to find a fair virgin that could replace her as queen in marriage. They sent out for fair virgins, but before they ever went to the king, it took 12 months to purify and to prepare them to spend a night with the king, if you will. It goes on to say in verse 12, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. So it was used for ceremonial cleansing. And of course, we know we have been washed from our sins. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7 says, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, why have we been cleansed? Well, one of the acts of anointed service, because that is basically what I was saying myrrh represents, anointed service that we can offer to our King, is to proclaim, to preach the gospel, to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. Luke 24:47 declares, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name, in the name of Jesus, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, that we might say to those who are lost and undone with Jesus, those who are backslid, walking in their own lusts, we can say, as the Apostle James declares in James 4:8-10, and he's speaking to those, perhaps you're not you know you're not where you should be in the Lord. Well, the Lord is drawing you close. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. Did it occur on December 25th? No. But for centuries, the Christians have celebrated this as a time of remembering his incarnation, that he was born of a virgin and divested himself of all his godly traits to be born as a man, to identify with his creation. James says, draw nigh to God. He's calling you, beloved. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. God wants us wholehearted in serving him. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the service of the King. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. James doesn't mince words. Humble yourself in the sight of God, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Praise God. And then, beloved, another precious use of this substance, myrrh was used as perfume. And let me share some passages of scripture with you. Psalm 45 and 8. It's referring to the garments of the Lord. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Hallelujah. And then in Proverbs, there is in the 7th chapter, there is a detailed description of how a lewd woman, a harlot, would seduce someone who was lacking wisdom and understanding. She declares, I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Also, there are several references in the Song of Solomon. But let's stay with New Testament scripture. 2 Corinthians 2 and 15 declares, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Praise God. Isn't that amazing that our lives, because we've believed in Jesus, we've become his children. And the Holy Spirit is working in our lives to perfect that work which God has started. Praise God. That work he started in us, he's bringing it to completion that we can stand before him holy, sanctified, and filled with the love of God, filled with the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. And in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 2, Paul declares, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Praise God. And Galatians 2 and 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Praise God. You know, I just want to stop for a moment and pray for those who, at this time of year, you just had a very difficult time separating yourselves from things of the world, whether it's relationships, whether it's addictions, whatever it is that's hindering your walk with God. Let's pray right now. And those of you who are listening and understanding and knowing this does not refer to you, let's join our hearts for those who are being tested and tried by the enemy to seduce them from a wholehearted walk with God. Father, in Jesus' name, you see those, Lord, who have compromised. The enemy's come against them and has tried to turn them aside to prevent them from entering wholeheartedly in service for the Lord. Lord, we understand that first and greatest commandment is that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our might, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord, even as you have loved us. This is the high calling of God. Jesus said that in those two commandments, all the law and the prophets are summarized. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, for all of us, in ways fall short of the glory of God. We pray for the anointing and the grace and the strength of the Holy Spirit. When we're weak, Lord, then we are strong because it is your grace operating in us. We call out, Lord, we appeal for that strength to be able to persevere, to be able to wholeheartedly, with all of that we are, give ourselves as an offering before the Lord. Father, grant it in Jesus' wonderful name. Our flesh is weak, Lord. Paul said, you know, when he was weak, then he was strong. And so, Father, we confess weakness. We confess, Lord, that we have failed you, but we thank you, Lord, that your grace, your grace doesn't fail us. And Lord, that through your strength, through your anointing, through the victory that Jesus wrought for us, through the precious blood of Jesus, we come forth as more than conquerors. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. Well, beloved, we're drawing close to Christmas, and even though it may not be the actual date that Christ was born, we commemorate and remember that tremendous work that was accomplished when Jesus was born as a man to be our Savior. Beloved, I pray that whatever your plans are, you will have a blessed Christmas day, a blessed Christmas season, that as you remember all that God has done for you, we can rejoice before him that indeed unto us was born Christ the Savior. Thank you so much for joining me, and as always, I do invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information, and I just want you to know that every day I pray for my UCM partners, specifically needs that they've shared as they've written in, but also for my radio family. And if the Lord's moving on you to write and to share your needs, I encourage you to obey his voice because he has a reason for doing it. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas. I love you. And until tomorrow, when Lord willing, we will conclude this message. May God's richest blessings forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.